Okay, we're ready to roll. It's rolling, it's good. Okay. And this picks up, this is live. All right, I have a world to do today. First of all, let's give the date for everyone listening across the expanse of the great universe. Today is a very auspicious date, May 15th, 2011. Last week, we finally finished out the Besamim Rosh. I apologize that for those lectures, because the truth is only a real Lamdin and someone who has broad knowledge can appreciate them. And they were greatly appreciated by some in the classroom and by many across the world. And above all, I got it out of my system. So I just await the student who will listen and pick up and do a doctorate on the Besamim Rosh. It is a very fascinating topic. And as we said last week, the approaches of contemporary Talmidei Chachamim and scholars differs greatly. And you saw that Rav Shlomi Yosef Zevin set the tone for Rav Avadya Yosef and others, myself included. Lo chashuv mi amatze, chashuv ma shehu amar. And on the other hand, I showed you a David Tamar, how he jumped on the republication of the Besamim Rosh in 1983, called it a great Chilul Hashem, quoted Chassidic Rebbeim that you can burn the Sefer when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat. And then I did something that was a little bit different, and one of the most unique moments in 52 years of teaching Torah happened last Sunday in this classroom. As you recall, I took a Gemara in Psachim and I dashened it two different ways. And you picked up right away that the second drasha, I had inverted the Gemara. I was not quoting it correctly. And I told you that an Adam Gadol gave that drasha, made that mistake. And if you would ask his son, who's in Chochmat Yisrael, he would be hysterical and he would say, my father made mistakes. And I told you, from the point of view of Chochmat Yisrael, the person who gave that drasha made a mistake, plain and simple. From the point of view of Talmud Torah and learning and Yirat Shemayim and emotion, I loved the drasha. The Gemara was misinterpreted. All right, so we'll find there were other Gemaras that I cited and could cite and add to the theme, and that's the difference when all is said and done. What was amazing was that Rabbi Rubin, who is not here at this moment, but I hope he'll hear this. It's just amazing that he was so upset. Why was he so upset? Because he heard that very drasha from the Adam Gadol. I heard it at an RCA convention. He heard it in Boston. And Rabbi Rubin took the person giving the drasha at face value. And look at Rabbi Rubin's love for Shabbat, that every Saturday night he, you know, you make Havdalah, you don't drink the whole cup when you make Havdalah, it's not Leil HaSeder. So you drink a revit, whatever. There's always wine left over in the cup. He would put the cup into the frigidaire, take it out next Friday night, add to the cup, and make kiddush on it to bring to life the drasha he heard in Maimonides in Boston. And we have to admire Rabbi Rubin for that devotion to Shabbat and his devotion to his Rebbe. And I really apologize that I had to come along and ruin that minhag by quoting the Gemara properly. Okay, so that was last week, and with that we concluded Rebbe Shaul Berlin. Now, I want to move into a topic that you don't have to be a Gadol Hadar to appreciate. A topic that is halacha l'maisa. We'll start it now. We'll finish it next year, Be'ezrat Hashem, when Danny Wolf will take charge of the recording. And next year, I'm going to meet with the kollel before class begins, and I'm going to read them the riot act, because this year suddenly I'm not coming for Shabbat. Everyone is mourning. Why isn't this room overflowing now? And so many people call me Rebbe, and I haven't met them in my life. I don't even know their names. They're listening to me via the tape. So next year, I am coming dressed in black, blowing out a candle in the Beis Medrash, holding tefillin in my hand, and putting a cheirim on anyone in Gris Kolel is forbidden to listen to me on the YU website. The YU website is only for people who are beyond Gris Kolel and can't make it to Shia. If you want to study with a Rebbe, needs Talmidim, you make me wiser. What Nachum Lem did for me this year with Gromiko, I owe him a big thank you. I'll have to drink an extra L'chaim at his wedding. What can I say? Now, the topic is very fascinating. It's dealing with real halacha l'maisa and real problems that, thank God, we have today in the Torah world. And I'm going to deal with a lot more than just the inter-ethnic married couples, but it begins with inter-ethnic married couples and how many shilas I got before Pesach with rice, with legume derivatives, with one guy sitting in this room calling a basin into my office. He called it a basin of Gedolei Yisrael. I'm glad to see my Talmidim Raiders Gedolei Yisrael, to be Mataneder, and everyone is having a good time, and I'm someplace lost in the middle. I'm still a Litvak, but what can I do? When I spoke with Rav Unterman in 69, he told me Minig HaMokam is to use May Kitniyot, and it was Mataneder, and I don't know if I use it now. The only problem is the margarine, and with the matzah in the hotel, believe me, there was no margarine. So this Pesach, I was a good Litvak. The Knedlach, the only reason I went to the hotel was to make my wife happy, to be able to have Knedlach, because unfortunately I married a girl with Hasidic background, and she thinks her mother thought Knedlach is an Issa D'Oraita. So the Vilna Gaon had Knedlach, Leila Seder. So I was the happiest guy alive. Their Knedlach, they were so hard, so tasteless. That was the end of the Knedlach. I had no gebrachs. And my wife wasn't looking. When she went to get more food, I broke in matzah into the soup. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Now, I want to begin with Divrei Agadah. I'm going to actually say part of this drasha, Yom Yerushalayim in Beverly Hills. And you'll see why. And this Divrei Torah that I'm introducing the topic with, is something that stands on its own. Those of you going into the rabbinate here, America, Chinuch, you'll be able to use this. And let me begin by telling you the following story. In the Kolel, I taught two brothers, Dani and Ezra Cohn. Some of you may know the brothers. Dani is a famous rabbi today in Stamford, Connecticut. Ezra works for Outreach in Manhattan. And through the brothers, I got to know their father, who was on sabbatical, Rabbi Dr. Herbert Cohn, a Talmud Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. And the year he was in Israel, he never missed a shiur of mine, became my Talmud as well, and we became very good friends. He's really a wonderful individual. He came in Aliyah, he and his wife Merrill, and they invited us to come Yom HaTzmut to join them for Sudat Yontif, if you wish to call it. And we went to Beit Shemesh and we joined them. And here we are sitting in the Cohn home, beautiful house in Beit Shemesh. And right down the road we hear Ethiopian music and Ethiopians celebrating Yom HaTzmaut. And it's Ethiopian music. And the truth of the matter is the prophet Hosea already referred to this. Hosea, Perek Bet, Pasik Bet. V'nikbitzu, by the way, Danny, I hope that next year I won't have to take my glasses off. My cataract operation is scheduled for June 26th, the second one, the final one, Be'ezrat Hashem. So you'll see whether it was successful or not, whether or not I have to take my glasses off next year when I quote. And Hosea Bet, Pasik Bet. V'nikbitzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdav. V'samu lechem rosh echad. Va'alu min ha'aretz, ki gadol yom Yisrael. And what it means, that when the time comes from the kibbutz galyot, God will gather them together, and it will be a great moment, and B'nai Yehuda and B'nai Yisrael, with all their differences, everyone will be united. They'll have one leader, which, by the way, you can interpret as referring to democracy, where you elect one leader who has the authority ultimately, Valumin Aretz, and they will come back. If you look into the Radak, Reb David Kimchi, on this very pasuk, so he comments, when will this happen? Bimei HaMashiach. And he says, what does it mean, Ki Gadol Yom Yisrael? Ki Yom Gadol V'Nichpad Yiyeh Yom Kibbutz Yisrael. Asher Chefitza HaKel HaMafases Rayim. What does it mean? That you have to gather them together. This will be a tremendous achievement, because when God sent us into Galut, He scattered us like you scatter seeds in the ground. And you all understand, when you scatter seeds in the ground and you have all types of different vegetables growing, and all types of different fruit, what a job it is to gather it all together, bring it all together, and turn it into one beautiful, magnificent harvest. But look at the Radak. Look what the Radak is saying, that God scattered us, Zrayim, al pinei hasadeh. And I want to go a drop deeper now. What does it mean? Seeds. How does a seed grow? Seed grows from the ground, the nutrients, the air. Every country has different agriculture. Every country has a different product. The United States, you all know, is famous. Different areas have oranges, cucumbers, cantaloupes, potatoes, beets. What you grow in one area, you can't grow in another area. It needs a certain type of soil, a certain type of climate, a certain type of oxygen. It's unbelievable the way God made the world. A human being is no different. When you are spread and scattered, so many different countries, so many different cultures, so many different lands, you are influenced. You have what we've referred to so many times. You have dual culture. You're living in two worlds. How many times have I quoted the Rav? Now give me the pasuk. Avram Avinu, ki ger v'tosha v'nachim machem. We Jews are gerim. We have our own way of life. On the other hand, we're part of the Western world. We're part of general culture. We're part of medical science. We're part of technological advancement. So many of our people I just met the other day, one of the great Jews who won the Nobel Prize, Professor Orman. Just met him a few days ago, was introduced to him, taught his cousins, his nephews, over the years. This is part of Gullus. And now you come back to the Ethiopians, you can understand it. They've come in Aliyah. This is the first generation. They're celebrating. They're happy. They're rejoicing. How do they know how to rejoice? What are the songs they sing? Have you ever seen Americans get together here? There's a whole theater where they put on Broadway plays. Guys and dolls. I saw my dear friend Mo Berlin, that he took ill afterwards, he should only be well. I saw Mo Berlin acting. No, we get all excited. What are you all excited? Guys and dolls? It's in the Mishnah? It's in the Gemara? It's in the Rishonim? Tell me, did the Achronim discuss it? I don't know. But guys and dolls, Fiddler on the Roof, more than that. The other day I came in to this wonderful building that has unbelievable memories for me. I'm here longer than anyone else because I never left. Rabbi Miller left, took a sabbatical this time, that time. He's now leaving again. I have the record uninterrupted since the day I clinched this building for BMT. So I came in and I patrolled the building. I check in the morning. I always check. The light should be out, the air conditioning, because it's mamish terrible the way people walk out and leave air conditioning on all night. All right, fine. I go upstairs. I have to do some whatever, Xeroxing. I wanted to get some food, breakfast, and I hear noise. I open up the what do they call that? What's the room called? The conference room. Open up the conference room, and I see a whole group of Torah Shraga guys with the computer watching a hockey game live, and they are the happiest kids in the world. That is the generation. They have hockey in their blood. I have baseball in my blood. This is Zera. This is what the Radak says so beautiful. Ashehifitzu hakel hamafazez rayim. He uses the words rayim. Al pnei hashadeh. And then you have the day that God will gather us together. Psachim pechet amid aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Godol ki bitzgoliat ki yom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. Sheneema. V'nikbitzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachto v'somalechem rosh echad. V'alumin aretz. Ki gadol yom Yisrael. That's the pasuk in Hosea that I just quoted. And the Gemara continues, Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Voka, Yom Echad, Breshet Aleph, Pasuk Hey. What an analogy that Kibbutz Goliath will be exactly like the creation of the world. So the Mashar, you can see the Mashar on the Ein Yaakov, or the Mashar in the Gemara is Pezayin Amid Bet. It's a little bit before. It should be Pechet Amid Aleph, but it's Pezayin Amid Bet. In the Ein Yaakov, it's in the right spot. The Mashar gives a fabulous explanation. What do you mean? Kibitz Goliath is like Briat HaOlam? And the Mashar explains so beautifully. What does Briat HaOlam mean? You're starting off. You're building anew. You're starting afresh. It's Yesh Meyayin. You're changing what was before. You have creation. Kibbutz Goliath, you're taking back Jews from all over the world. Canada, United States, England, France, Australia, Russia, South Africa, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, every country you can imagine. Everyone has a different mentality. Everyone is a different type of toshav. Everyone has so much more baggage than just Torah v'Yirat Shemayim. And you have to bring them back, replant them, forge them anew, make them grow into a unified people. This is exactly creation, Yom Briat Shemayim Va'aretz. And my dear friends, students, colleagues, by the way, Rabbi Rubin, I praised you to the sky just a few minutes before. You didn't hear it. Pick it up on the recording. I sort of felt very bad. A young boy that kept wine from Havdalah to Kiddush, and I had to burst that bubble. Kol hakavod for your love of Shabbos. It was extremely moving, ennobling, uplifting, and inspirational. Period. With an exclamation point. Gentlemen, wow, we're living it. It's happening. And we're coming back. And Ein Hachinami, I'm the first one to admit that I am very unhappy today because the Yankees are playing miserable baseball. And the Boston Red Sox are dancing on their graves. I am the first one to admit it. And I understand that Ethiopian music. But you know what's amazing? Look at the miracle happening. Look how the Gemara comes to life. Yom Briat Shemayim Va'aretz Vayehi Erev Vayehi Boka Yom Echad. Look how it comes to life. Walk the streets of Yerushalayim. Walk the streets of Tel Aviv. Walk the streets of Haifa. Walk the streets of Netanya. Walk the streets of Ranana. You'll hear people speaking English, Russian, French, Arabic. You'll hear every language. And listen to the children, their children, the children born here, growing up here, and you'll hear Hebrew. And this is exactly the Gemara in Psachim. It's exactly the Radak. The Radak and the Mashah complement each other and give us a beautiful interpretation and analysis. And look how fortunate we are that we see it happen in a tangible, inspiring fashion before our very eyes. My dear students, there's no question that as the Golah spread out, and we all know that halacha is very multifaceted at times. One of the first lessons you learn, and I think it's inspiring, you open up a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shas, already a machloket. To when can you read Kriyat Shema? How late can you still be Yotzei? Rabbi Gamliel's children coming back from a party. And I always had an argument with my Rebbeim. My Rebbeim used to say they're coming back from a Sheva Brachas, and I used to say they're coming back from a Yankee night game. But be it as it may, you can choose to be on my side or my Rebbeim's side. Open up the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Ravin, Shmuel, wherever you turn this machleket. Now, I can't go into great detail, but I just allude to it now. Next year I'll go into very great detail. This is the famous Rambam, his Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah. The Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah... can you close that door somehow? We got what we have. Getting... All right, Halavai, it should hold. Okay, if not tomorrow, you have to tell them. Beautiful. The window and that. Okay, we got it closed. Baruch Hashem. Leave it to good Russian hands. They had to do a lot of hard work in Russia that an American or a Canadian takes never dirtied his hands on that level. Take my word for it. I know what I'm talking about. Kalak Avod. So, you got to remember, the Rambam and the Hakdamah LeMishneh Torah goes into a problem that haunts us until today. I know a kid now, he's going out with someone I know, and this kid, his father was my student. If his father would tell me what the son tells people, I would smack his face, but the kid is not my student, so I can't smack his face, chas v'chalila, but he says he just follows the Gemara and Sefer HaChinuch. He's not interested in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and this is a very legitimate question. How do you know who to follow? And how do you know how to live? How to act? How to do? So much machlokes. How do you know how to paskin? And the Rambam sets down the rules which guide us until today. Then when it comes to the Gemara, Hiskim Aleim Kol Yisrael, the Gemara absolutely obligates every Jew ba'asher hu sham. A maskana of the Gemara, we paskin like Beit Hillel, we don't paskin like Beit Shammai, that obligates all of us. But beyond the Gemara, the Rambam says we went into exile, and each community went its own way, each community has its own minhagim, each community was influenced by its own learning, or by its surroundings, by its own intellectual abilities, And every community in the world may have different menhagim, different halacha, different practice, and we cannot force anyone to follow a different point of view. All points of view are equal. Now, this is the Rambam. I'm saying it very quickly. There's a lot more to be said, but the Rambam drives the point home very succinctly and clearly. You will find the Rambam Hakdama LaMishneh Torah. Everyone laughs at that Rambam because that's the famous Rambam where he says, that's why I'm writing the Mishneh Torah, to end off the whole need to study so much Torah Shebal Peh. All you'll have to do, no, remember the Rambam? All you'll have to do is open the Chumash and open the Mishneh Torah and you will know everything. And gentlemen, I need not tell you, more svarim have been written on the Mishneh Torah than any other sefer. I would imagine even more than the Gemara. You'd have to go to a computer and try to figure that out, but it's an interesting challenge. I have a feeling that more svarim have been written on the Rambam than even the Gemara. So, and you know, the Ravid, the Rabbad goes crazy. He calls him, you know, this is harsh language. He can't use this language today. Mishuga, Ish HaRuach, he says about the Rambam. How does he say something so foolish? No, this was his dream. But the Rambam's Hakdama LaMishneh Torah is classic. And the part where he deals with Haskimu Aleihem Kol Yisrael will become a 20-year course Be'ezrat Hashem in the Kollel. God should keep me L'varech Al HaMugma, what I'm beginning next year Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, we see this in the Gemara. This whole problem of different menhagim, and nowhere will you see it clearer and sharper than the Mishnah in Psachim, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Aleph, Mokum Shenahagu Lasot Melacha, Bi Evrei Ave Psachim Ad Chatzot. And that Gemara, the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Amid Bet, let me elaborate a little, that Gemara sets the tone. That Gemara had a paskin, lacha lacha, is the challenge that we live with until today. But to begin at the beginning, Erev Pesach is very different than Erev Shavuos or Erev Sukkos. No one in the world will say there's some sort of Kedusha Tayom to Erev Sukkos or Erev Shavuos. I agree, we look forward to it. We work very hard. When Sukkos comes in, we've built a sukkah, we have a lulav, we have an etrog. I need not tell you how much effort goes into that, and you have a ravat and an adasim, and you want to keep them fresh. I'm well aware of how much effort goes into it. I'm well aware, Shavuos, we counted 7 full weeks, and every dashen in the world has given you mussar already, how you can't just go into Kabbalat Torah without any feeling. I'm walking in, I'm receiving the Torah, v'gamanu, you have to prepare yourself in 49 days, and you have to count. And if you're a makubal, I can only tell you, I have one son-in-law who's a makubal, a yekeh who became a makubal. What can I do? Baruch Hashem. And one time we were davening Marav, we reached Sfirat Hom, he says, Saba, don't wait for me now. This takes a makubal much longer. He's davening for me, you should see what they go into with Sfirat Hom. How long does it take me? Alright, I have chumras. What's my chumra? I say, La'omah, I count twice. Baruch Hashem, I have a chumra. Alright. That chumra takes an extra half second. But the preparation. But no one will say that Erev Shavuos has Kedushat Hayom. Erev Pesach may very well have Kedushat Hayom. Michael, Korban Pesach. You bring it Yom Yudalid, Lacha Habein Harbayim, Lacha Hatzarayim. Josephus' description of what went on at the Temple Mount, and how many times did I go to Daven Erev Pesach at the Kotel, and thousands of Jews are sitting there saying Korban Pesach, I think they call it Tikkun Korban Pesach, and wow, it's a different day. So Erev Pesach, Lacha Chatzot, there is a halacha that we do malacha like in Chol HaMoed. In other words, if you're going to shave Erev Pesach, if you're not growing a beard, shave before Chatzot. This year we went to the hotel, The first thing I did when I got to the hotel was before Chatzot, I shaved. Because it's a malachi, you can probably do chalamayit if you shave every day, beseda. But Erev Pesach has already, I don't want to use the word a full kedusha tayom, but it certainly has a certain amount of kedusha that no other Erev Chag has. Now, then there were people already that didn't do malacha all day Erev Pesach. They only did malacha that would be muteret on chalamayit. All right, if that's the case, it's a minhag. All right, that's your minhag. What do? If you travel, you grew up in Kew Gardens Hills. In Kew Gardens Hills, the people don't do malacha Erev Pesach. And this year, you're going steady with a girl from Borough Park, and you're spending Borough Park you're spending Pesach in Borough Park with her parents. And there they do the malacha. So what do? So you see, the Gemara already had that question. Gemara goes further. This is a famous Gemara that applies today. I'll show you how in a second. B'nei Baishan, how far can you travel Erev Shabbos? And I want to quote to you the Rakefet aphorism. Anything that goes wrong Erev Shabbos. I'm no youngster. I've lived a full life. I can tell you anything. Do I have to go any further? You all know that I'm suffering. A student committed suicide. When did he commit suicide? Erev Shabbos. Okay? Just think for a minute. Think what that implies, what it means, what it does to the family, the friends, the rabbi. Erev Shabbos. Any technological problem. Earlier this year, I suddenly had no electricity 1 hour before Shabbos. I had a miracle that we were able to get an electrician we never met before, never met afterwards, and he was very honest and able, and it was a miracle, mamish a miracle. And anything goes wrong Erev Shabbos. Nope, you're traveling. You're going to Lakewood. Remember the famous story a few years ago? The bus is going to Lakewood, December, tremendous snowstorm. The buses never got there before Shabbos. One bus, there's one story where I forget already all the details, was Beis Yaakov girls. That bus went off the highway, went into a community. Thank God they found the Chabad shul. Everyone was put up for Shabbos. The other bus reached Lakewood 3.5 hours, 2.5 hours after sunset, Friday night. And again, we don't know who Paskin. They claim they called the Rosh Yeshiva, and we never got the name. He said if the driver is not Jewish. So it turned out the driver was a Russian. They took for granted he's not Jewish. They found out later the driver's mother was Jewish, which is a problem that comes up all the time, because the Russians were very intermarried, and yet they felt Jewish. It's not simple, because they were called on their identity card. They were listed as Jews. And it didn't marry if only the father was Jewish, the mother was not. And it's not like the Americans who knew, all right, we're not Jewish according to halacha. The Russians didn't have that background to appreciate it. So, going on a trip on Friday, I have a rule which I steadfastly try to follow. I never fly or travel a great distance on Friday. Shabbos is Shabbos, period. People invite me for Shabbos where I have to travel a great distance. I'm going to Baltimore in the middle of the summer. I'm going to Toronto. I'm going up on Thursday. I don't want to leave a big trip for Erev Shabbos. Dude, that's the Gemara from Tyre to Sidon in Lebanon. I was there in the First Lebanese War in 1982. You'll see pictures in the book. And somehow, I never had this before, where people working on the book know me and they know what's going on. So in Beit Shemesh, people came over to me in the shul when I davened Mincha Marev and said, Rebbe, we know there are 3 pictures of you in the army in the book. I say, how do you know? So he told me, I say, And you're excited? Yeah, we heard they're fabulous. I say, those are the least important pictures. Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a picture of the Rav with the sixth and seventh Rebbe. It's a picture of the Rav with Reb Chaim Heller. And what excites you is that dummy Rakefet in uniform? Oh my gosh. Anyway, I know where Zidon is. I know where Tyre is. I was there. I was there many, many times in 82. Gentlemen, what do you do when you go to a different community? Now, how does this all affect you? That's the Gemara in Pesachim. Every last student here was affected by this Gemara. This past Pesach, maybe a 500,000 people were affected by this Gemara. No? Rabbi Reuben, how many people did you know who came for Pesach? You were in a hotel. I was in a hotel. Michael, you can't believe all the people that came. What do you do? Kew Gardens Hills, Boston, Johannesburg, Manchester, London. You observe 2 days, Yontif. The final, think for a minute, the final day, the eighth day, when we're reading chametz, when we're driving our cars, when we're watching Chveis television, when we're playing with our computers, let's put it into your language, they're in Yontif, can't do a thing. God forbid they should eat chametz. All right, the last day Yontif, they can have knedlach, the chassidim. Some of them have special pot and pan, I've seen this. Oh, and they make knedlach the last day Yontif. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Gentlemen, what are you paskin? Do you start to understand the problem of minhag? Minhag is a tremendous problem. What is Yontif Sheni? It's a minhag. What does the Gemara say in Beitza? Hizharu b'minhag avoteichem b'yudeichem. In Chutz Laretz you have the minhag. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the minhag. I believe it's, if I recall correctly, it's right at the start of Beitza. I believe it's Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. But you can check it out in a minute. Minhag avoteichem b'yudeichem. You can look it up. You don't have to go to any computer. Look it up in the book. There's a 3-volume set from Merkaz HaRav, which gives you all the quotes. Minhag avoteichem, hizaharu b'minhag avoteichem b'yudeichem. It became a rabbinic aphorism. It's right at the start of Masechet Beitza, Masechet Yontif. So you're talking minhag. And what are you paskin? Again, I'm not here to paskin. I don't have to tell you it's a tremendous machloket. It's a 3-way machloket. How do you view Yontif Sheni? Does it have to do where your feet are or where your mind is? If you're a member of the New York community, it doesn't matter where you are, 2 days. Or no, it's like Purim. Purim, if you're in Tel Aviv, it's your Dalit. If you're in Yerushalayim, it's Tetvav. I had a number of grandsons this year who observed 2 days Purim. They were your Dalit in the army, and Tetvav, they were in Yerushalayim, and they observed 2 days Purim. Where your feet are? When I did basic training, I was in Bethel, Yudalit. I live in Yerushalayim, my wife is in Yerushalayim, my children are in Yerushalayim, my teaching is in Yerushalayim, my bank account is in Yerushalayim, my car is in Yerushalayim, my svarim are in Yerushalayim, lo melev, lo morid. Nothing to do with the issue. Look where your feet are. And this is the machloket. It could be Yontif Sheni is in New York, 1 day Yontif is here. As a matter of fact, when I'm going now and I'll be in Beverly Hills for Shavuot, I will observe 2 complete days of Yontif. The only thing I'll do the second day, no, you tell me, very quietly, I'll sneak into my room in the hotel, after the Suda, put on tefillin, make a deal with God, that if I'm chayev in tefillin, these are tefillin, if I'm not chayev, I'm wearing jewelry, and say Kriyat Shema. No bracha, just say Kriyat Shema. Because it's a suffix, the oraita, azeva, let me not speak Yiddish. That far I can't follow the Rav. I never spoke with Rebbe about that, but I spoke with Rebbe about Yontif Sheni, and I have to observe what I spoke with Rebbe, I have to observe as he told me. Of course, there's a middle point of view, what you call a day and a half l'chumra, which is the way I paskin. If people ask me, I always say to them, do you want a psak, or do you want me to justify what you're doing? If it's to justify what you're doing, thank God, Yontif Sheni, I think I know the topic, so I'll justify 1 day, 2 days. But if you want a psak, the best psak is a day and a half l'chumra. Yeah, anyway, but this is minhag. Minhag is very important, and I'm going to show you a source in a minute to show you how important it is. Yes? Meika Hadin is one day, but he would pasken a day and a half lechumra for two reasons. One reason is that if they go back, they shouldn't be mezazel in Yantav Sheni. And the second reason is not to confuse them. They should know there's a concept of Kedushat Yantav Sheni. Now, the truth is, I know a case where a rabbi lost the shtela. He was here, didn't, you know, observed only one day, went back, and he was in a big young Israel, I don't know, a very hush of young Israel with a lot of frum balabatim. And he paskened they could take a shower, Yantav Sheni. And the Balabatan raised the roof with him. You follow me? He was Chislaris. These are from Balabatan. They felt the rabbi did have tendencies that ultimately winds up to the left of Yeshiva University. But Mamish, it's an involved story. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, it's a famous story. Because the senior rabbi was on sabbatical and he ran back and he embarrassed his replacement in public. Everyone lost in that event. Everyone lost. The senior rabbi, the rabbi who was filling in for him, but the Rav is right. And then the Rav told me one time a Beis Yaakov girl asked him about Yantav Sheni, and he saw that she was so confused. So he told her, you know what? Keep 2 days, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. My cousin says, keep 2 days. So, yesh amil smoch. But a day and a half, which is the psak of Rav Shmuel Soland and Rav Tukachinsky and every Yerusha Mayim, that's the answer. A day and a half. The half is a euphemism. It means you only keep the Issa Malacha. You don't keep the full Kedusha of the day. You don't say Brachot Levatala. So that's what it means, a day and a half, only half the obligation. But it should be second day luchumra. That would be a better expression. But what can I do? The world uses a day and a half.
Is someone who is not observing the second day drives, you can drive in a car?
Yes. That's a machlokes, the Rav and Rav Moshe. But the Rav told me that it's simple, that it's based upon a Rashba, Tshuvat HaRashba. You know what the Tshuvat HaRashba is? I go to the Kotel, like this Friday night, I already was at the Kotel, a little bit after 5 o'clock. At exactly 6:02, my minion said Lechuna Ranana. Okay? We were finished already by all of Kabbalah Shabbat by about 6:25. Now I'm walking home. And this once happened to me, by the way. I was walking with my grandsons, and a Talmud is driving by, and the Talmud stops the car, and the Talmud says, Rebbe, come, I'll give you a lift. For me, it's not Shabbos yet. I said, you're right, it's a Rashba, the Rama brings him down, but for my grandsons, it's not nice that I'm a Kavel Shabbos, and then you're giving me a lift. But Meika Adini was right. In other words, Isa Malacha is weighed by one factor. Do you have an Isa? Yes or no? He was in Makabal Shabbos yet. It's another 40 minutes till sunset. He can give me a lift. For him, it's mutter to drive. No, what am I doing? I'm doing nothing. No, Isa, what's the big deal? I'm a tochatchum, so he's driving me. So the Rav felt that if someone is an Israeli and he drives his car or he pays for you on the bus, you would be allowed. Rav Moshe Asid, but the Lundus is with the Rav on this issue. But be it as it may, I can tell you, in 1969, I'm an Olech Hadash, and I'm working in the encyclopedia, and Rivka Duka is working with me. Her father was on the committee, Abraham Duka. She's Rivka Fishman today, Professor Abe Duka's daughter. So she was quite very close to me. Until today, we remain very friendly. And Rivka says, oh, my aunt is visiting. And she asked me to ask you, what should she do? Yantav Sheni. So I said, she was in the Tirat Bat Sheva Hotel. It was still a hotel then. It's a different Israel. So I tell her, tell your aunt she shouldn't do malacha, you know. So after Sukkot, I asked Rivka, what did your aunt do? She said, oh, I'm going to tell you, but you're going to laugh. Sit down. She says, her aunt, you know, was listening. Rabbi Akef told her, Rabbi Rothkopf at the time told her not to do malacha. She says she goes out of the hotel. She sees Hasidic Yidden with long beards getting onto buses. It's, you know, a regular. She says, what is Rothkopf crazy? They're allowed to go on a bus and I can't? Jews dressed in black? Long beards? Tayyas? So that was the end of the day and a half l'chumra psak. But be it as it may, I need not tell you that custom is very powerful. Now, yeah, look, Michael, don't argue with me. What do you want to do? Your relative, 1 second, your relatives want to keep 1 day, 2 days, a day, and see, a day and a half. Do you want to tell someone from Philadelphia, forget about the second day? Understand? Then he goes back to Philadelphia. All right. So you want to paskin a day? Fine, you paskin a day. I paskin a day and a half l'chumra l'chatchila. B'dievet, it's better to keep 1 day than to keep 2 days. To keep 2 days, you're getting involved in brachot levatala, you're getting involved in so many yisurim, it's frightening. And there was a total rebellion against the Shulchan Aruch on this. And I spoke with the Rav. Rebbe told me you want to know what the Rav told me? I'll take off a minute and tell you. The Rav said, again, I'm breaking into Yiddish because I was speaking with the Rav in Yiddish. Ich hab gefragt mein Tata. I asked my Tata, my father, in 1935 when I stood for the Rabbin in Tel Aviv. So my father told me, in the name of Reb Chaim, in the name of his father, that as the Shaila from the Chacham Tzvi is Nishtar Teretz, the Chacham Tzvi is Gerech. That means the question the Chacham Tzvi asked, I believe it's in Chacham Tzvi Kuf Samach Aleph. You can look it up. I believe it's Kuf Samach Aleph. If I'm wrong, then it's Kuf Samach Zayin, but I believe it's Kuf Samach Aleph. I may be wrong. If not, if I'm wrong, it's Kuf Samach Zayin. Look it up. So the Chacham Tzvi says that in all of the Gemara, we see that people came Ola Regel from Bavel, and there's not one word of Yantiv Sheni here. We know they came Ola Regel because it affects when we say V'tein Talumat L'Vracha, right or wrong. So the Gemara discusses that very problem. But the Gemara never made mention of Yantiv Sheni. And you see, there never was a Yantiv Sheni. But the Chacham Tzvi started it. Then you see the Alter Rebbe goes into Chassidus. Again, I don't want to go into it now because I don't understand it. I'm not a Chassid. But he says the rays of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached the land quicker in Israel. That's why you only need 1 day of Kedusha. But in Chutz La'aretz, it takes longer. You need 2 days. It's the Alter Rebbe. It's a Meridic concept. His grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, elaborates upon it and speaks in terms, and he's so correct, that in Eretz Yisrael, God is closer to the Jew. This is the Einin Hashem Eileha, Mereshit Hashana Adachrit Hashana. In Chutz La'aretz, God is more distant, and it takes 2 days to feel the Kedusha. Then the Minchat Laza, the Munkacha, where David, Prado's mother comes from, the Munkacha, he said it's like Megillat Esther. He told stories of how he tried to keep 2 days, and he saw people going to work a normal day, and he saw he was all wrong, that it's like Megillat Esther. So there was a tremendous rebellion, and Rav Kook goes along with this, and the Chazon Ish goes along. But in modern times, it got caught up in Israeli Zionist politics. In other words, today you can't get a proper halachic answer. It became, if you're a Zionist, you keep 1 day. And if you're not a Zionist, you keep 2 days. Gentlemen, when you paskan halacha like that, you are one level above an imbecile. Okay? If that much. Understand? It's like Yom Ha'atzmaut. If you're a Zionist, you say halil. You're not a Zionist, you don't say halil. Ribbono shel Olam, that we're sitting here learning Torah on a day like this, when the entire Israeli armed forces are in action, when the world is out to destroy us, where so much is happening on all our borders, and we're sitting here, b'menuchat ha-nefesh, and learning Torah, you gotta say halel 50 times over, not just once. Baruch Hashem. It's not, no, Chabad is interesting. The Rebbe in Hashkamat HaBoka holds 1 day clearly. In Hilchot Yontov, he hems and haws. Halacha l'maisa, it depends who you ask in Chabad. Generally speaking, the psak you get. You know, Chabad, the Rebbe never paskened. He always said, min dafregen aposek. You have to ask a posek. Generally, they paskin 1 day. Yes, that is correct. And that has captured Chabad, and people told me in the hotel that years ago they asked Rav Ashkenazi, and he paskened one day, but he said it's the eighth day, you shouldn't eat chametz, and try not to do malacha d'oraita. So they said they never understood what he answered them until I explained the psak of a day and a half l'chumra, or the second day l'chumra. Yes, Nachum. No, the public minions in Issa d'oraita, there's such hamratzot that's floating around today, it breaks the heart. There's no one to talk with. Excuse me? So come to my shiurim, go to the website, hear my shiurim. Of course, the Afghan, not the pro. He's saying Eidut because in the Shulchan Aruch he only talks about Jews going from here to Chutz Laretz. So a lot of people tried to say that the Shulchan Aruch only paskin the way he did for Jews in Chutz Laretz. But here you attack observe only one day. So Ein Achinami Rakefet quoted the Avkat Rachel that there he says in a tshuva that there always was second day Yontif Minyanim in Yerushalayim. So that's why you see that it's not right to say the Shulchan Aruch only paskin one day for me in Chutz Laretz, but it would seem from the Avkat Rachel, which of course is not as authoritative as the Shulchan Aruch would say, we'll deal with that, or maybe more authoritative. We'll deal with that in class next year, the whole question of response to literature versus a psak. But it's a delicate question, but I claim the Shulchan Aruch was constant and Ein Achinami. This is what makes the problem so difficult. I spoke with the Rav. I said, Rebbe, how can we go against the Shulchan Aruch? Okay? We spoke in great detail. I'll deal with it next year, not just on this. In general, I'll give you guidelines that will open your minds to psak and learning on a higher level than just Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, let's say.
So that means Chabad would say that an Israeli doing business in Chutz Laretz keep 2 days.
It's interesting. I don't know what Chabad would say in the opposite case. But logically, they should say 2 days there, 1 day here. Just like the Rav told me, you have to keep when you're in America, in Chutz Laretz, for Yontef Sheni, you have to keep 2 complete days, just like us. And that's the story I told you with the consul. Remember, you said you remembered the consul? Do you remember the story? The consul to Boston, it's not like today. Today, Jews with kippah are all over the place. Women with tichels are all over the place. It's a different Israel today. The fact that they changed Yom HaTzmut, that they want to change Lag BaOmer to avoid Chilul Shabbos 10, 20 years ago, they would have laughed at you. Today, it's a real serious issue because, Baruch Hashem, you have over 2 million Jews here who have earned the title Shomrei Shabbos. There are over 2 million Jews who is Shomer Shabbos per Parhesia. And that's the touchstone of who has the title Shomer Shabbos. Who would ever dream this? The statistics show, you all know, I gave a whole drasha in Flatbush on the Haaretz article that when they went crazy, that the statistics show in 30 years, Haredim and Datayim will be an overwhelming majority of the country. The poor Ben-Gurion's granddaughter was interviewed by in Maariv magazine a few years ago on the Erev Shabbos. So she said, in 20 years' time, the only Jews left here will be the Jews that are religious, that are observant. She said, the country belongs to them. She's evidently bitter, must be members of her own family living everywhere else, but in Israel. So these are real issues today. So Baruch Hashem, we can be proud. We have achieved. We have come. Okay, anyway, be it as it may, it's a burning issue. It's a difficult question. And this question of minhag, forget about traveling Erev Shabbos. Forget about doing malacha Erev Pesach. Forget about Yontif Sheni. It affects every aspect of our lives. No, I don't have to go any further. Why did the Vilna Gaon put the Hasidim into Chayram? What was one of his main reasons? Nusachat Tefillah. The Baal Shem Tov came along, and the chutzpah, the Baal Shem Tov, he changed the Nusach from Ashkenaz to Sfad. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, came along and he changed it to Nusach Ari. All right, how do Ashkenazim come to Nusach Ari? How do you come to Nusach Sfad? Where are you from? Come on, let's be honest. I'm from Lithuania. Yitzchak, where are you from? Poland, let's say.
Ungari.
Ungari, oy vey, an Ungarisha. David Pardo, half and half, an Ungarisha and a Turk at the same time. Wow. But let's be honest, where do we come? Danny Wolf, he's German. Where do we come to Sfad? Where do we come to Sfad? My sons-in-law, one is Polish, one is Litvish, one is a Yekka. Where do we come to Nusach Sfad? I have grandchildren who daven Nusach Sfad. So the Gaon put them into Cheirim. And take a look today. I just daven Minchin Mechon Lev, Nusach Sfad. I go into the Shtiblach and Katamon, the Chaparayim, to grab in a Mincha. I never know what Nusach they will daven until the Chazan opens his mouth. Eidat HaMizrach, Sfad, Ashkenaz. One time a Yemenite davened, I almost fainted, a Yemenite, and he had Bahavar Ashkenazis. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I spoke with him afterwards, and the Litvakin, the black Litvakin said to me, "Nu, atarale, anachnu tzodkim, amati atat tzodek, ani lo yodaya, lo batuach, aval davachad ni agid lachem. אם אתם חושבים שאתם סוגים, למה לא תחיו כמו התימניים, עם הפיות האלו ועם הלבוש הזה? אתם לוקחים את הקולות, לא את החומרות, מה הולך כאן?" I told them off. We had a good laugh. Then we all shook hands. I have to tell you, this is Kibbutz Galiot. We all shook hands. But you see what's happening here. So many minchagim are breaking down. So much is happening willy-nilly. Rav Gorin, and you got to know, Rav Gorin was a tremendous Rav in the army. You don't know how many skuyot the man had. When he was Rav Harashi of the army, if a kitchen was trafed up, he flew in the next day and heads were chopped off. He was a powerhouse. For the civilian rabbinate, it was not good for him. For one simple reason, he was used to giving orders. You understand, the army, there's a pkuda. Misareif pkuda, you wind up in jail. It's not a bakasha. A civilian rabbi, those of you going into the rabbinate, you cannot give orders. You have to influence. You can give a, you can request, you can give a sermon, you can give makarot, but you can't give orders. But in the army, he was fabulous. And he already saw this problem of Kibbutz Galiot, and he wanted to introduce Nusach Achid. If you get an army sitter, you will see that the army sitter says Nusach Achid, it's for everybody. When you look through the sitter, you'll see it's essentially Nusach Ari with compromises towards Nusach Ashkenaz. What was the idea behind such a sitter? That the Eidot HaMizrach have Nusach Ari. Basically, it comes from them. There's a bit of Ashkenaz in there, Sfad, which is the Pelishung Jews, the Litvish Jews. So Rakefet, when he did basic training and 14 and a half years of Miluim, and Rakefet davened in so many different shuls in the army. So I'll quote to you from Aaron Rakefet. I know him well. Quote, "The only thing that Nusach Achid means is that each time the Nusach changes. You can be certain when you walk into a minyan, it won't be the same Nusach as you heard before. Even worse, I davened, I was with, where did I daven, where this happened? I was out of Yerushalayim. I forget already where, whether it was in Givat Zev or I forget when, but recently it happened to me. In the same shul, the Baal Shachrit daven Ashkenaz and the Baal Musaf daven Sfarad. In the same shul." So these are real live problems. Now, Rav Shmira Gaon, we're going back to the Gaonim. We're going back to one of the most famous of the Gaonim, Rav Shmira Gaon. And Rav Shmira Gaon is quoted as saying, how do we know that minhag is important? Minolan de minhag miltehi? You know, why is that so important? And he quotes a pasuk from the Torah, as if he's giving it, it's much more than rabbinic. that mamish, there's a source in the Torah. He quotes the pasuk from the Devarim Yutet, pasuk Yudalet. Lo tasig gavul reyacha asher gavlu rishonim. Lo tasig gavul reyacha, what does it mean? It's talking about boundaries. You know, unfortunately, people rob. Unfortunately. I'm not talking that an Arab attempted to rob my car. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking even good Jews, somehow when it comes to money. So the Torah put a special prohibition down that where there's a border of land, you can't surreptitiously move the border forward a little bit so you have more land. So Reb Shrira Gaon says, this is a source. So don't change the boundaries, the minhagim that our forefathers put down. Ah, gentlemen, where did he say it? Where did he say it? I want to tell you, I went to work and I hunted it down. And let me introduce you to a very important sefer. Otsa HaGaonim. If you know the story behind it, how many of you have used the Otsa HaGaonim? Reb Binyamin Menashe Levin. Make believe you recognize the name, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Mendel in graduate school, you heard the name?
I've heard of the work, I don't remember.
What's the story? Binyamin, gentlemen, how many of you know who Hasifer is, the office of a scribe, a complex on Rehov Strauss? Hasofer, what's his name? Marty Flummenbaum. Whose student is Marty Flummenbaum? Eide Haredit, long beard, you should see him, Shabbos, the works, Strimel. Aaron Rakefit's student. There's a story about him. He's nameless, but you can put it together in my book. It takes place on Chol HaMoed. Don't forget that story, ever. If you go into Chinuch or the Rabbinate, if you go into being an accountant or your lawyer, you'll certainly want to forget it. Gentlemen, Marty's wife is also my student. His niece is also, her sister-in-law was also my student. They are granddaughters of Reb Menashe Binyamin Levin. Who is Reb Menashe Binyamin Levin? He was one of the early Talmidim of Merkaz HaRav. He was a Talmid Mufak of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. We'll come back to Rav Kuk many times. But right now, we're quoting his Talmud. And Hebrew University opened. I believe the year was 1928. You can correct me if I'm wrong. If you want, check it on a computer. Hebrew University opened. Late 1920s. And this Talmud of Merkaz HaRav wanted to go to university. So in certain yeshiva, if you said you wanted to go to university, they called you every name in the book and told you to get lost. Read Making of a Gadol, you know what I'm talking about. But Rav Kook was very smart. He saw that Rav Levin had this desire. So he said to him, go to university, but major in something that the Torah people will benefit from. And he went into a scientific approach, what we call Chachmat Yisrael, Wissenschaft der Judentum. And he combined two worlds, tremendous learning and a scientific understanding. He put out Otsa HaGaonim. Unfortunately, he died before he finished, just like Professor Lieberman with the Tosefta. He did Otsa HaGaonim, if I'm not mistaken, through Baba Kama, perhaps through Baba Metzia. I don't think he did further. No one has ever completed it. On Sanhedrin, Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum completed it. a doctorate, if I'm not mistaken, for Bernard Rebel Graduate School, Zeifer Tzadik Levracha. And you have all the Gaonic literature that was available by the 1920s, by the 1930s, when they went through every library in all of Europe and pulled out, and they went through the Cairo Geniza and they pulled out fragments from the Gaonic literature, it's all there in the Otsa HaGaonim. So I'm now quoting to you from Otsa HaGaonim. I believe we have it downstairs in the library. Volume 12 on Masechet Baba Kama. By the way, it's very interesting who he dedicated the Otsa HaGaonim. Lamaran, look at these words, Rabbi Levi, Professor Ginsburg, Bimalotlo, 70 shana. On his 70th birthday, he dedicated this volume of Otsa HaGaonim to Professor Levi Ginsburg. So you see, in my lectures on conservative Judaism, when I dealt with Levi Ginsburg and the Derech Eretz Rav Hutna had for him and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik had for him, you can see that I was right on target. I was not off target. Now, on Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph, but page 105 in Otsa HaGaonim, Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph in Baba Kama, but it's 105 in Otsa HaGaonim. So he's dealing with the fact that according to halacha, if people rob, all right, let's say they wanted to rob my car. Of course, I'm giving a bad example, because the Arabs wanted the car for the pots, not the car per se. But it's very different here. See, in America, they rob a car, they want to have a joy ride. A day later, the police will find the car. He wanted to impress. I once went to a wedding, and a Talmud of mine pulls up in a Lincoln Continental, very showy guy. And valet parking, he comes out, the car is gone. One of the people who did the valet parking ran off with the car in the middle of the wedding, and they found it a day or two late. He wanted probably to impress his girlfriend or whatever. I don't know. You know, let's not give all the facts. And they found the car deserted. So that's in America. Here they rob cars, believe it or not, for the parts. And they know, of all the muzzle, the car that's robbed the most today is a Scudder, which is the cheapest car on the market. But it's very popular with the Arabs, and they want the parts, the Palestinian Arabs. God have mercy, what we're dealing with. So someone robs your car, and he sells it. Gili buys the car, he didn't know it was robbed. Alpi alacha, Gili doesn't have to give it back. The robbers have to pay you, but you're konya al yedei shuni, al yedei shuni rishut, al yedei shuni, al yedei. You follow me? It's changed hands. But they're writing to Rabbeinu Shiragon that there's a minhag in their place that if you buy something from a thief, you have to give it back. And logically, this makes a lot of sense, because imagine how you feel your car is robbed. So the robber sold it, got the face $10,000 for it. The guy who bought it innocently. We're not arguing that. But how do you feel to see your car being driven by a third party, and he says, "Nu kaniti al yedei shinui rishut, kaniti liachayei yushpalim." Well, you know, you can make a whole case here. You feel terrible. Justice is not on my side. The pure halacha here is correct, but it's not justice. Yesh tzedek, yesh mishpat avalein tzedek, if I can paraphrase the Gemara in Sanhedrin, dafava medbed, tafsayin amad aleph, the sugya there. Keely, the minig was, you didn't know it was robbed, but you have to give it back. Whatever money is owing, the gazlan owes you, and the car goes back to the original guy. Hold on for 1 second. So this was the minhag. So believe it or not, Rav Shiragon says that if this is the minhag, שכן דבר שיש בו תקנה גדולה והסרת מריבות ותקלות, לפי כך כמנהגותיכם עשו, ואל תשנו ממה שעשו אבותיכם וקדמוניכם, ואל תזוז, ואין עליכם בזאת כלום. And what a psak. What a psak. If this is your minhag, and it adds to peace and good feeling and a feeling of justice, and it enhances society, don't you dare change it. You have to keep that minhag. And that's one of the sources for Rabbeinu Shvira Gaon, although it's not exactly the words that I quoted a minute ago. I'm going to show you another source where you'll see exactly the words, but it's the exact same idea. Okay, Ephraim,
yeah.
You wanted to ask something.
Yeah, say, taking that case, Gilead would have to return the car to original owner.
Right. Yeah, so the ganav has to give him back the money. The lien goes against the robber. You follow? The way, halacha lemaisa, what should have happened was the robber pays the man whom he robbed from, and Gili gets the car. But here what happens is, Gili gives back the car, and the robber pays Gili what he paid him for the car. So you see, there is mishpat and there is tzedek, because the man doesn't feel bad seeing his car being driven by someone else. And at one time, they used to rob big Peugeots in Israel, big Volvos. And those cars, they sold to wealthy Arabs. And I know a case where someone's son, who was an officer up north, saw an Arab village, his father's car, with the license plates, Israeli license plates, being driven. It's very dangerous. You see, the police took my little tragedy, if I may call it that, very seriously. You know why? Because whenever they rob a car, they have Israeli license plates. When you are at a machson, a blockade, how would you say that in English? A blockade? I don't know. Machson. A barrier, a checkpoint. When you're at a machson, you look at the car, you look at the people. In other words, involved in security is a lot of subjective judgment. The minute you see the Israeli license plate, what do you think? It's an Israeli. And that's why this type of robbery is taken very seriously, because the police have very little time here as far as the drug addicts break in and rob something out of an apartment, out of a house, out of this, out of that. Their success rate is very small because there's not the manpower to devote to it. But a car with Israeli license plates becomes terrorism. God have mercy. You follow?
So what happened
in my case?
In the case where he sold his father's car?
Nothing. Couldn't do anything. It was an Arab village and the car just drove on and the army did not have permission to chase it. Whatever they were doing there, they were doing, but it was not involved with the car. The car never came back. But I can tell you in my case, everyone laughed at me. The police are taking fingerprints, big deal. They know what apartments they come, Zihui Plili it's called, Lokim Tviyot that spot. In my case, I was overwhelmed because they said to me right away, they use gloves, there are no fingerprints. But they showed me one part of the front, they had to work hard to break it open. And they looked for that part. It was thrown in back of the car. They found it. And they said, this, we're taking this to the laboratory. And later that afternoon, I was in the police station in Maria police station in Talpiot, when I was there to Hagish Tluna, so I can claim insurance. So the lady said to me, they want to see you one flight up, Ania Kachotach, who was a police officer, a lawyer. And she said, let me take you upstairs. I walk in. Ronan, who had taken the fingerprints in the morning, was all excited, said, Gilinu Tviat Kafyad. At a certain point, the glove went up. They got the kafyad. So I anishalti otomata semze hervati etzehala. I passed it on. I understood already it's a different division that takes over. And a few days later, the detectives were looking for me as if I had done a crime, as if the world would stop because I wasn't home and I don't carry a phone with me. And the poor, one of the detectives was a woman and said to my daughter, and my daughter said, "Bat kamat, bat yotet sira mimeni, has kainim shalach, has sabav esafta olchim im cellularium? Lo. No. Gam has abba shali, who kamo has sabav shalach." So Baruch Hashem, I wasn't arrested for not having a cellular phone. But I can't carry a cellular. I just, when I walk, I think, I have paper with me, I write notes, out of those notes come Sheyurim
Chidishim. Is there a source of where he quoted with that pasuk?
Yeah, that's the next thing I want to do. What did you want to ask, Eli?
It's, they don't find the robber, so it's not
Saturday. If you don't find the robber, you're finished no matter what you do. Oh, you mean the guy driving around? Ah, yeah, no, he would have to give back the car. That was the minhag. And he would have to look for the robber, but that's the minhag. Here you say you're dealing with the shayla of minhag mevatel halacha. Leave that for next year. But the truth is, he would know whom he bought it from. So it's not a problem of finding who the robber is. Yes, yes, Josh. No, one second. But if you see a minhag, it's so important, that a minhag, that you have a pasuk in the Torah that Rav Shmuel Goyen treats it so important, you just can't throw out minhagim. Look into the Rambam in Hilchot Mamrim, Perik Aleph, where the Rambam describes minhagim as being on an equal with Torah Shebaal Peh. Hey, you're talking like a Reformed Jew? Throw it out, chuck it, you follow? I heard, I don't mean anything bad. The Rub once called me a Reformed Jew. I played it in class. We found the recording. We played 57. And I'm more mad at my students. The Rub, I was happy, called me a Reformed Jew. Who mitchashev be. But no one defended me. The whole class laughed. That's what I was upset with. I said a svara to come up, defend me a little. Everyone laughed. The Rub called me,
if there was a synagogue in a community.
Yeah, well, we'll come.
People move in.
No, we'll come. No. Do me a favor. We will get there. Let me give you the source.
Well, coming back to Rabbi Obadja for a second.
Well, we haven't said a word from Rabbi Obadja.
The fact that he said that the Yosef Cairo is the Bola Da'asa
right.
In this country.
Right.
And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And why should I be stuck with all kinds of crazy men hugging from Krakow?
That's what he says, and that's what David Bachaim says. And by the way, I want to correct something I said. David Bachaim is David Mandel from Australia. He learned in Mechas Harav for 10 years. I looked him up on the internet. He's not a product of Lakewood. Does anyone know? I'm trying to find out. People told me he learned in Lakewood. If anyone can check that out for me, I will appreciate it.
Okay.
If I knew how to send emails, I wouldn't be on Rekefet. Now, Otsa Hagonim, I'm quoting from the fifth volume on Masechet Megillah, and I'm quoting from Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph in Megillah, page 49 in Tshuvat Hagonim, in Tshuvat Hagonim, on Megillah, and here he's dealing with the whole question. Those who have learned Megillah know at the end, so he's dealing with the whole question of selling a Beit Knesset and what the minig is. And you know, from the Gemara, there's a whole problem: who can decide to sell a Beit Knesset? Who represents the community? What do we mean by the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir? I don't have to tell you this is a question that Halacha L'maisa has repeated itself tens of thousands of times in response to literature. I mean, you just think for a moment, changing neighborhoods. The minute you get involved in changing neighborhoods, what do you do with the Beit Knesset? And the basic source is all towards the end of Masechet Megillah. And he says here clearly, v'hamilta, and this is something, a minhag, exactly the quote. Tichtiv lo tasig gavul re'acha asher gavlu rishonim. Here already, he uses the words that he's famous for, that it's a muta. It counts. It can't be disregarded. We can't just chuck it. We can't just throw it out. And if this is the minhag, then it's mamish subsumed under a Torah rubric. Lo tasig gavul re'acha asher gavlu rishonim. And he ends off that particular commentary one page later, page 50, klalol sheledavar. My de it be minhag muchak avdinan, umay de late be minhag yadua lo avdinan. And write black and white and so clear. If it is a well-known minhag, a strong minhag, a powerful minhag, a minhag that we have accepted, you must absolutely observe it. If it's not a widely accepted minhag, if it's not, for the sake of argument, some people eat glatt, some people don't eat glatt, some people eat gelatin, some people don't eat gelatin, all right, so these are machlokot that say the yesh panim lakan, yesh panim lakan, or as the achronim say, the river went many different paths. So there already, yesh makom lahakel, but where it's widely accepted, you cannot budge. So what do we see from here? There's no question that to change a minhag is only a nisa derabanan. We can't give a minhag Torah status, but the concept behind it is as clear as an Issa D'Oraita, according to Rabbeinu Shrira Gaon. And you see a remez to this in a very interesting Ramah, which I personally wish I could abolish, wish I could get rid of, wish I could, can't do a thing. What am I talking about? What minhag get destroyed? Kriyat Megillah. No one is Yodzei Kriyat Megillah. Because whenever they say Haman, 5 million little kids shoot guns, Rashanim, BB guns, Englet of itself, turn on radios, music, CDs, what I have heard. I go to a minyan where no kid is allowed in. Plain and simple. No kid. Who needs that? No, you're not Yotzei. They don't understand. You're not Yotzei. Ribbono shel Olam. Were you Yotzei Megillah in Gris? I don't know. Baruch atah melech olam shekamayim. At night, I don't have a choice. I have to daven with my children. Oh, they limit the noise. The morning, it's fabulous. We read the Megillah 22 minutes. My wife heard Megillah reading 18 minutes. They have a whole Remez Chai, Remez Chabad, what they can do. No, I'm quoting to the Ramah Hilchat Megillah, Tav Reish Tzadi, Sif Chatan Yud Zayin, where the Ramah writes about beating your feet and making noise and erasing the name of Haman, and the Ramah knows how many Rakafar have cried bitter tears, this is against the Halakha, it's against being Yotzei, it's against this, it's against that, and the Ramah paskins, Ein levatel shum minhag, o lilogalav, ki lo lechinam, huk ba. We can never laugh at any minhag. We can never abrogate it. We can never dismiss it. A minhag is crucial, important, all-encompassing. It obligates us. And that's the psak of the Ramah. Fascinating psak. could very well be that out of that minhag of stamping your feet, they used to write Haman on the bottom of their shoes. Are you aware of it? And they would stamp their feet. Could be out of that minhag we have today, Tzva Haganah L'Yisrael. So even Rakefet, you don't understand what I'm saying? Takes a lot of guts when you're in Gullus to tell the Goyim, drop dead. That's exactly what the minhag is of making the noise at the time of Haman. Could be out of that minhag came Tzva Haganah L'Yisrael. I don't know. Could be. I want to be Malamet Zchut on Klal Yisrael. A little better, Yitzchak, now? Okay.
Abyssal far-fetched.
Abyssal far-krumt, they say in Yiddish. Far-fetched, my boy, you're talking English. Gentlemen, one final point. All right, fascinating material or not, we're just scratching the surface. Believe me, it's fascinating. It's going to carry.
Say, yeah, but, the U.S. Army
chapel. Kol HaKavot, Rabbi. So you have to explain, I heard Rabbi Young handled it beautifully, that these are to the enemies of the Jewish people and mankind.
Right,
exactly. Right, well said. Gentlemen, one final word. We all like to grow up with cliches. It's part of life. The Yankees always win the pennant. The Boston Red Sox always lose. The Yankees always win the World Series. The Brooklyn Dodgers always lose. All right, that's the way we grew up. Remember 1955, was it? Wait, next year is here. The Dodgers finally won the World Series, 4-3. What a team they had. But the Yankees, no matter what, they always won. But finally, 55, every newspaper in New York, I can still see the screaming headlines. Next year is here. Gentlemen, so we grow up. Nowadays, the Zionist rabbis are the great Mekilim. And the Haredi are good at Yisrael rabbis. They are the great Machmirim. That's the way we grow up. Gentlemen, when it comes to changing minhag, when it comes to everything that Josh, the golden boy, just said, and Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin just alluded to, and you quoted Rabbi Ovadia, the Beis Yosef, David Bar Chaim, David Mendel, the greatest machmir that we have, Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, greatest machmir, a tremendous machmir in many areas. People don't realize that. In Geirut, Giyur, there wasn't a bigger machmir than Rav Cook. Came to Minhag, came to everything we're talking about. The Beis Yosef, you'd be laughed out of his Beis Medrash, as we will see. So take those stereotypes out of your mind. Halacha is halacha. It's the Mishnah in Ediyot. Rabbi Yosri Hasharia, remember, he was called the Matia because he was Matia three times. And all the Rishonim learned Pshat, a posek, sometimes it's Matia, sometimes it's Mekel. It has to be logical. What you think, no two of us think alike. But take those stereotypes out of your head. The Yankees didn't always win. The Red Sox didn't always lose. And Moran Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook was not always Mekil. In Halacha, the greatest Machmir. It's like the Rav. Very fascinating. I can tell you that on civil marriage, the Rav was infinitely more Machmir than Rav Moshe Feinstein. And we're talking civil marriage. If the Rav would be correct, you know the problems we would have in Israel? You couldn't walk the streets and look at any girl. You'll fall in love. She's not Jewish. She's a mamzeret. That's worse. Not Jewish, you can convert. What do you do with a mamzeret? You're a Kohen. Then you certainly can't look. Wow. My dear students, to reiterate, what have we done today? We began the shiur by reviewing last week and stressing Is your glass okay? Did that fall out, the lens?
I have a small screwdriver at home.
Ah. We began this year by reviewing last week and singing words of praise to Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin. Then we went in. No, very necessary. Then we went in. I kept on thinking about it all Shabbos. You know, I am doing the week. I'm under such tension this last week, but Shabbos had...
This is what the Rav said.
I understand. I want the students to see your Derech Eretz for the Rav. I want them to see your Derech Eretz. Josh, has it sunk in? You're watching? You see what I'm saying? The Rav? Wow. Today, you guys, you choose. It doesn't matter. Each one does their share. Then we started a new topic, which I think I introduced properly. We went into Divrei Torah on Zera. That Radak is so powerful, and when you tie it together, Hoshea Bet Pasik Bet, right? And the Radak, and the Gemara in Psachim, and what it means, Kibbut Skolyot, and how applicable that is today. Then we went into the Mishnah in Psachim and began a whole discussion with Minhag HaMakom. And it carries all the way through. The best example today is not the Gemara's examples, traveling Erev Shabbos. That today plays a very minor role. But the example of not doing Malacha, the morning of Erev Pesach, you barely find people who will be that machmir. But Yontif Sheni Shel Galgis is the classic example for our generation. Then we went into the importance of Minhagim and Rabbeinu Shrira Gaon, where he sees a Pasuk D'Oraita as the source. And finally, we went into Rav Avram Yitzchak, a Kohen cook. That's the latest, if you're interested. Gentlemen, tomorrow, crucially important, we're in the Holocaust, and shifting gears into Zionism, which will carry us through into next year, Be'ezrat HaNotein LeYov Koach. Now I have to ask the committee one simple question. Do the boys want a Lag Ba'Omer film festival? And if they do, what are they interested in? I have the following. I have paper clips. I have a documentary on Sungi Hara. I have the Rav, of course. I have in video the classic winning a People Apart about Borough Park. It was done by a YU graduate. Very, very powerful. Leaves a lot to think about, a lot to discuss. I have classic Israeli TV clippage from 1980 on Russian Jewry done by a German crew. But I have to tell you in advance, the language of communication is Hebrew. In other words, it's narrated in Hebrew. I have the Lubavitcher Rebbe at Fabrengen's, a very fascinating material. I have the Lubavitcher Rebbe as he was done on American TV, British TV, with entire documentaries on him. I have Israeli politics with Rav Ovadia and Rav Shach. I recorded that. It's a moment in time, etc., etc. Yes, Nachum. Years ago, I showed it.
I've seen it. I just want to recommend it.
It's very good. Sugi Har would be one day, and we can show something else the next day. Okay, do me a favor. Let me know tomorrow what you want.
It would be on Sunday?
Sunday and Monday, regular classes. It's a film festival. It's 2 days. Sunday and Monday. Wives are invited, friends are invited. If there are more than 50 people, we'll have to find a bigger room.